The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is 2020. 2020, folks, we've stepped into the new year, and I'm back with another year of Dollars and Cents, financial advice in a language you can understand. Delighted to be here this Sunday morning. Hope you enjoyed your New Year's celebration. Christmas behind you, Hanukkah behind you, all the holidays, and now we just start with cold weather. That's really what it's going to be for January and February, and we're just going to, I can't wait for the spring to come. I know that's it for me, unless you're a big skier. I guess if you're into the whole skiing thing, and I'm not an outdoorsy skier person, I'm very happy. Actually, I've been watching this new show. So how's this for financial advice in a language you can understand? I'm telling you about TV I watch. So there's this show that my assistant, Jody, had suggested that I watch. It's actually on the, believe it or not, the Paramount Network. You've probably never even known that the Paramount Network existed. It's a show called Yellowstone. So we have been watching this, Laura and I have been watching this show now, and I've gotten pretty addicted to it. It's, imagine it being like The Sopranos, yet it takes place on a ranch in Montana. And it's this family that is like the family, the ranch-owning family that basically has control over everything that goes on in Montana. And, you know, it's a Cowboys and Indians show and all that kind of, and it takes place in present day. So it's actually pretty intense, pretty cool. You realize what the life of a cowboy is, what it's like living on an Indian reservation in real life here in America, the challenges that are faced with it, and a lot of the secrets that get hidden in the vast land of Montana. It's pretty cool, actually. It only took us about one or two episodes to get into it. Usually when you start watching some of these shows, you know, it can take you a season or two to get into it. But it came up pretty quickly, and it moves very fast. So if you're looking for a new show to watch in 2020, I'm recommending Yellowstone. Anyways, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about because a lot of new stuff is happening for 2020. I don't know if you've heard the spots we've been running here on North Shore 104.9, but in an act of bipartisanship, Congress decided to sign into law this thing called the SECURE Act, S-E-C-U-R-E. The SECURE Act is an acronym for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. It's a horrible acronym because most of what the major legislation that was passed that's impacting people right now doesn't really follow that guideline of setting every community up for retirement enhancement. What you're going to hear about in the SECURE Act is the fact that small business owners, people that want to have retirement plans, but they weren't able to do it because it was too costly, are going to be able to work in groups where perhaps a chamber of commerce will get involved, or a maybe your association that you're involved in, whether you're in the textile industry, the retail industry, the food service industry, whatever, you'll be able to combine a bunch of different groups within your similar industry and build a retirement plan that works and is more efficient and affordable for those that work in your community. But that's not going to go into effect for a couple of years. So that's how they're kind of promoting it and talking about it. But the big stuff, the stuff that's going to impact people today, are for people that are either planning to retire, people that may pass away, or die after 2020, and the heirs that are expected to receive the money. So I thought this morning I would spend some time talking to you about some of the provisions that are part of the SECURE Act that are likely to impact you now. So one of the things that folks are always asking me about is this thing called a required minimum distribution. When you turn 70 and a half years old, you have to take what's called a required minimum distribution from your retirement assets, your IRAs, your 401ks, all of these things. You have to take a certain amount of money every year. You don't have to cash the whole thing in, but the government says you need to take a certain amount of money. And that money historically has been around 3.6% on the first year. And the way it's calculated is, let's say you have $100,000 in your retirement funds. On December 31st, that amount is reported to the IRS. And if you are 70 and a half years old, you must take a required minimum distribution from your $100,000 in this upcoming year, 2020. That amount, if you had $100,000, is, let's say it's $3,600. If you wanted, you could take all of it at any time during the course of 2020. You could also take $300 a month if you wanted to as well, because that'll add up to $3,600. And that's the way it's always gone, 70 and a half. That's been the number that's been stuck in our head. But most people for years have said, why did someone pick 70 and a half? What a stupid, stupid rule. Well, finally, they have decided that we're going to change the number of 70 and a half. It's no longer going to be 70 and a half. It's now going to be 72. So, if you were born on July 1st, 1949 or later, so July 2nd, 1949 or January 1st, 1950, if you were born July 1st, 1949 or later, you no longer have to take a required minimum distribution from your IRA and or retirement accounts until age 72, not 70 and a half. You know, well, that's, for some people are thinking, well, it's pretty good. Because when you take money out of your IRA, you have to pay tax on that money. Now, there's a lot of people, lots and lots and lots and lots of people that are taking money out of their IRA far sooner than 70 and a half or 72, frankly, because they need it for income. They need it. So one of the things is someone will argue to say, well, this is another one of those provisions that benefits the rich, those that have the money and they just don't have to pay tax on it for a little while longer. Well, I think you're right there. I think that is one of those provisions that are there. But I always challenge what the rich really are. It all depends. I mean, I think most people that have a net worth of $1 million or $2 million, that's including your house, would not consider themselves rich. Yet in many categories that you fall in, people would say, "Oh, you are part of the rich." So this is what is rich? I always have a challenge with what that really represents. But the reality is that you can now wait until age 70 and a half, 72, to take a distribution from your IRA. And here's one of the reasons why. When you turned 65, years ago, you used to think to yourself, when I turn 65, I'm going to retire. Well, how many 65-year-olds do you know? How many 70-year-olds do you know that are saying, I'm not ready to retire? I kind of like working. I'm not ready to kick the bucket. I'm not ready to sit on the rocking chair and go on a cruise and then just watch myself wither away in some nursing home somewhere. That doesn't happen anymore. Folks, we're living longer. We're more vibrant. We want to stay more active. And the last thing we want to do is get away from an environment where we're intellectually challenged, where we're socially enjoying our time surrounded by people, whether it's going out for lunch, hanging out and just shooting it with our friends and having a good time at work. People aren't ready to shut it down just yet. And the government has realized that people aren't ready to retire so quickly. Though there is part of the population that says at 65 or at 66 or at 62, I'm done, I'm retiring. That's fine. But those that are working and want to continue to work, they don't feel that you should be forced to have to take money from your retirement accounts at 70 and a half if you're still working. And so they're allowing that to push out a little bit further to age 72. So think about that. What does that really mean? If you're currently over the age of 70 and a half and you've been collecting a minimum distribution from your retirement account, does it mean that you can now stop and wait until your 72nd birthday? No, that doesn't mean that. Everybody who has already begun required minimum distributions, or I should say has already reached age 70 and a half, must take minimum distributions based upon that 70 and a half age, that age and that payout schedule. You have to take it. This new rule goes into effect for those born after July 1st, 1949. If you were born before that, this rule doesn't apply to you. But there are rules that do apply to you. There's a lot of new stuff that is coming your way. And some stuff you may like and some stuff you're just not going to be very happy about. Because after all, the government has decided that despite lowering tax rates for all of us, and yes, our tax rates went down with the tax act that was passed a few years ago, what that has created is less tax revenue for the government, and our deficit is growing at a very rapid pace. And now there's a way to start collecting tax money. I'm going to show you what the strategy is and what their plan is for doing that when we get back. But I'll tell you this, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter yet, it's called Planning Pointers. Go to my website. People love Planning Pointers. It comes out to more than 7,500 subscribers. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the newsletter, put in your name, your email address, and you will start getting Planning Pointers every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. I'll be right back with more ways that you can learn about how the Secure Act is going to impact your life. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great start to the new year. The kids are finally back in school. Man, was that a long holiday break. You know, when Christmas and New Year's fall on Wednesday, it kind of extends everything out. Hope you guys enjoyed your time with the kids, but I'm sure you're also excited that they are back at school. The college kids start heading back, I think, either this week, next week. I know Jerry goes back. My son Jerry goes back to University of Miami on the 10th of January, and Alana is going back to URI, I think, around the 16th or 17th of January, something like that. But great having them home. Always interesting when the whole gang is back together. As many of you know, I have five children, ranging from 16 to 23. Each of them is so different. And isn't it amazing when you have kids? You have your first kid and you go, oh my God, I love this kid. It's just amazing. And then you hear that you're going to have a second child and you go, how is it possible that I'll be able to love a second child like I love this child? And not only do you do it, they're totally different, and you just deal with their situations so differently. And what's interesting as a parent, I find, is that it's so difficult to try to explain how you have to deal with the emotions and the personalities of each child differently, and trying to explain that to your kids, to say, well, because the kids are, well, you do this for this one, you don't do this for that one. You got to handle these things differently because each kid's emotions are different. And it's a challenge. Anyways, here we are in the studio providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And starting January 1st of this year, there was a new law that was passed. It's rare. It's rare. And there's not much celebration. You really don't even see much of this on the news, that the Senate, the House of Representatives, Congress got together and agreed on something. Not only did they both agree on something, the president agreed on it too. And it just got fast-tracked and happened and came into effect. It is called the Secure Act. The Secure Act stands for, it's an acronym called Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. I think it's a joke of an acronym. It does not really reflect the impact of what this law is really all about. When you think about the secure part, what they're really talking about is the fact that starting in a couple of years, businesses, small businesses, people that have under 100 employees will be able to partner up with other businesses of similar interests. Let's say the restaurant industry, the textile industry, the shoe industry, the gasoline industry, whatever, small business owners. You'll be able to get together and work to develop a 401k plan that benefits everybody, that everyone can participate in, where everybody can share in the cost so that it isn't so expensive for you as a small business owner to offer up retirement plans. As you well know, I mean, if you're an employer that has, say, 6 employees or 12 employees or 25 employees, you know how expensive it is for you to start up a 401k plan or any type of retirement plan for your employees. And if you want to do it, sometimes the easiest way is to make the employees share in the cost. And most employees, they want to see a retirement plan as a benefit to them, not as an expense to them as an employee in the retirement plan. So by combining these plans, by having the ability to do this through this new SECURE Act, businesses are going to be able to offer to more employees the opportunity to participate at a much lower cost. And on top of that, if you're a part-time employee, a lot of times part-time employees, those that work less than 500 hours a year, I think it's less than 500 or 1,000, I'm missing the number here. But if you're a part-time employee, you are going to be eligible to participate in 401k plans as well. Now, you may not be eligible for the employer match that's out there, depending upon your certain number of hours that you work, but you will be eligible to participate. And the opportunity to put money away on a pre-tax basis is an instant savings to your bottom line. Or even if you don't want to take advantage of the pre-tax option and use after-tax money to put money into a Roth IRA and let that money grow tax-free, that's a great option too. The point is the SECURE Act is going to allow more and more and more citizens to be able to begin taking responsibility for their own retirement, putting money aside and not being shut out of those provisions. I think that's a big deal, but honestly, it's not going to impact your life today because, frankly, they haven't figured out how they're going to do it. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know, they announced this big provision, but we really haven't figured out how we're going to do it yet. So here's what it's going to be. It sounds really good. Sounds really good, but it might not be a couple of years before this happens. So, well, that's all good, and it's provides securing the long-term future of employees. There's other provisions within the SECURE plan as well. Now, another one that's kind of interesting is that 401k plans are now going to have an annuity option in the 401k. Now, what does that really mean? You know, most people have talked about, oh, I heard annuities are bad or annuities are good. Forget about that. That's annuities. Annuities do what they're supposed to do, and annuities can do for you is provide you with a guaranteed income stream. So imagine if you now have your 401k plan, and when you open up your statement, it not only tells you how much money you have in your plan, but it says, if you continue to do this, and upon retirement, you convert your 401k to an annuity, we're going to show you how much guaranteed income we estimate you could receive for the rest of your life. That gives an individual a sense of hope, a sense of understanding, rather than saying, geez, I wonder what this could all be worth. Now, what's all that going to look like? How's it going to work? How's it going to be implemented? Well, they haven't figured that out yet either, but it still sounds great from the headlines, right? So what I want to talk to you about today is the stuff from the SECURE Act that's going to impact you today. And one of those things is the fact that if you were turning 70 and a half this year in 2020, perhaps you were turning 70 and a half in 2021. Guess what? You don't have to take a required minimum distribution anymore because the age effective January 1st just got pushed to age 72. How they ever came up with 70 and a half is beyond me. I don't know why they use this half age thing, but they did. And it's been stuck like that for a long time. The reality is people are working a lot longer. People don't want to start taking their retirement funds if they're actually making money working. So the government decided to push it out. Actually, there was a provision in this plan that pushed it out to age 75. But people said, no, if we go to 75, now we're really benefiting the rich. Because the rich are saying, we don't want to start taking our money out because we don't want to have to pay taxes on it. Why can't we just use our other resources or whatever? I don't know, I'm going to have to take money that you're forcing me to take. Well, the reality was is that the government looked at the numbers and they said, we've lowered tax rates. Our deficit is growing. We need to collect tax money, and we need to collect it quickly. And so the 70 moving from 70.5 to 72 isn't really solving that problem, but the next one that I'm going to tell you about is. So here's the deal. When you die with an IRA, in the past, maybe you've named your spouse as beneficiary. And when your spouse receives the money, the spouse has the right to take money out over their lifetime. Perhaps they take it out, and if you were over 70.5, you had to start taking a minimum distribution, but they get to take it out over their lifetime. They don't cash it in, but they can stretch it out and spread it out. It was called the stretch IRA provision. And let's say you were single or your spouse had already passed away. You had the retirement account. You wanted to pass it on to your three children. And let's say you had $500,000 in your retirement account and you had three children. Actually, let's say two children because the math's easier. You had two children and each one of them gets $250,000 in what's called a beneficiary IRA. They don't pay tax on it, but they have to take out what's called a minimum amount of money from the IRA, a minimum distribution, so that this thing could stretch forever. That minimum amount was generally based upon their life expectancy. And if they were 50 or 60 years old when they inherited this money, their life expectancy is a good long time, and they're likely not to have to ever cash in this money. Well, folks, the rules have changed. The government wants their tax money. So unless you are considered a qualified eligible beneficiary, you are going to have to take the money that was left to you by your parents or by whomever that's in a retirement account. You're going to have to cash it out within 10 years. That's a big deal. Many people have stretched out their IRAs for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Some grandparents name their grandchild as beneficiary. So the grandkid could have this money, income from it, money that sits there tax deferred for 60, 70, 80 years. And then the grandkid, when they reach a particular age, they could then pass it on to another person and stretch it out even further. And it could go on and on and on. Provision has been removed completely unless you are considered a qualified eligible beneficiary. So who is a qualified eligible beneficiary? Well, it's a spouse. It is, a spouse means that, you know, of course, you understand what a spouse is. Somebody married to. I'd like to hope you understand it. Where's my notes here? I want to read it to you exactly what this says here. So let's talk about who the people are who are exempt from this provision. They are what are called qualified eligible beneficiaries. These folks can continue to stretch out the retirement plan that they're about to receive for their lifetime. Kind of. So the qualified eligible beneficiaries are a surviving spouse, minor children up to the age of majority, individuals within 10 years of the age of the deceased, or the chronically ill and disabled. So let's kind of walk through this. So what happens, let's say you're 60 years old and you have died and you've left your money to your spouse, your IRA money to your spouse. Let's say it's $100,000. Doesn't matter. Now, remember, when you leave your IRA to the spouse allows that money to continue to grow tax deferred, but they have to take out at some point a minimum distribution when they reach that required minimum distribution age. And they can continue to do that, stretch it out for their lifetime. However, let's say you die and the person you leave it to is your son, who's 40 years old, and your son inherits that $100,000. Now, the son certainly doesn't want to cash it in. At least I hope he wouldn't want to cash it in all at once, because that would be $100,000 added to their income. But the son has to take out a minimum distribution. What that amount would be that represents their life expectancy number, it might be 1% or 2% of the value, a very, very small amount, and the rest could continue to grow into decades, into their grandparenthood, into their 80s, into their 90s. But the rule just changed. If your 40-year-old son inherits that $100,000 IRA, they must cash out the entire $100,000 within 10 years. So they could take it out in 10 equal installments if they wanted. They could say, I don't want the money for 10 years and cash out the whole thing at the end. Think about this, though. That's a lot of taxes to have to pay and a lot of added income to your to that person's income already. Generally, when you're in your 40s and your 50s, those are probably some of your peak earning years. And so why would you want more income added to your income already? More taxes to have to pay? Well, there's some planning that's necessary. And so many folks who have named their children as beneficiaries, people that have named many family members beyond their spouse as beneficiaries, may have created a tax problem unexpected for those people, even though they were being generous and leaving money. Don't get me wrong, they were leaving the money, but perhaps they hadn't thought about the tax burden they were creating for those. However, some other people that are exempt from this rule. Let's say you're an individual within 10 years of age. Maybe you've died and you've left the money to your brother. Let's say you were 60 years old and you left the money to your brother. Well, that's okay. That can continue to stretch. Let's say you've named it, you've named somebody who is chronically ill. That's okay. You can stretch that. It would have to be one of these boxes, right? But here's the interesting one. I told you earlier, grandparents have said, I want to name my grandchild. So let's say you're 80 years old and you have a grandchild who is 13 years old. And you say, I want to leave my IRA or a part of my IRA to my grandchild. Well, when your grandchild receives it at age 13 years old, they only have to take out what's called the minimum distribution because they're a qualified eligible beneficiary. And that minimum distribution is probably pretty small because at age 13, they got a lot of years to live. So that's a very small amount. Maybe it's 1%, 1.5%. However, when they reach the age of majority, age 21, they now will have 10 years to cash out the rest of it. So it's very tricky. One of the challenges that people are seeing, though, and this is the tough one, is that many people have been instructed to name a trust as a beneficiary in their IRA. And that is when some really sticky issues can happen. And some of the challenges that you were expecting, that you weren't expecting, will begin to arise. Many of the IRAs that are left in trust to individuals are called what are called conduit trusts, where it says, I'm going to leave the IRA to this individual and they are allowed to take out the minimum distribution because you want to try to manage the amount of money that that beneficiary would take every year. You want to leave them this money, but you don't want them to blow it. You just want them to take the required minimum distribution that they would have to take. Well, under that rule, under the new rule, there is no such thing as a required minimum distribution for a beneficiary anymore. They just have to take it all out in 10 years. So since there is no required minimum distribution, you may not be able to get out any money as the beneficiary of this IRA for 10 years, and then it could all get dumped onto you in 1 year, in year 10. There's got to be ways to fix that. There's got to be a way, but this is the way it is right now. So if you have thought about naming a trust as your beneficiary for your IRA, if you have named other people as beneficiaries for your IRA that are not your spouse or one of these qualified eligible beneficiaries, it's time to talk. We need to sit down and make sure that you are absolutely certain and clear as to what you need to do to address the changes in the Secure Act, because it's here today, folks. It was implemented on January 1st. And if you die soon, well, you could be, your beneficiaries could be surprised with the impact of the tax liability that's going to them. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about this more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hanny's North Shore Music Theater is turning 65 and celebrating with another extraordinary season of musicals. The 2020 subscription season kicks off in June with Thoroughly Modern Millie. The high-octane, Tony-winning musical filled with flappers, tappers, and a roaring good time. The Summer Family Show is the North American premiere of The Wind in the Willows, a spectacular musical by Oscar-winning screenwriter and Downton Abbey creator Julian Fellowes. This will be followed by Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, and the hysterical sci-fi camp classic Little Shop of Horrors. The musical season will end with the Tony Award-winning feel-good musical, Kinky Boots. Become a five-show subscriber today and save up to 45%. The 2020 season will also feature the special springtime return of Mamma Mia. For discount subscription packages and ticket information, visit us online at nsmt.org.
This is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial with important information concerning your retirement. In a rare showing of bipartisanship, Congress signed the Secure Act into law. It revamps the rules around required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, and it changes the way non-spouse beneficiaries can inherit your retirement funds. If you've named a trust as your IRA's beneficiary, or if you're approaching retirement and planning to take a required minimum distribution, you may need to rethink your strategy. At Friedman Financial, we understand the new rules, and we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, and schedule your free initial consultation.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We've been talking about this new Secure Act that just went into effect on January 1st, and people are waking up surprised about how the money that they intend to leave to the next generation is about to become very expensive to them. Yeah, this new Secure Act was designed not only, well, I think it's interesting, the acronym for SECURE is Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. Yeah, there's parts of it that would do that, but others, man, it is a little disastrous. And it's leaving estate planners scrambling. It's leaving folks that are approaching, that are not well, people that are chronically ill or are struggling with their health. It's asking them to really start thinking very quickly about whether the beneficiaries that they've named and the way in which they're doing it, if this is the way they want to structure it. It's leaving everybody the thought of understanding, oh my goodness, I could be passing an enormous tax burden onto my children when I wasn't doing that a week ago. In December in 2019, this rule has changed a lot of stuff. Now is the time to rethink and relook at your retirement plans. This is a period of time where you say to yourself, you know what? I don't know if I want to go about this thing on my own. A lot of people feel pretty good when they're working and they're saving money. They're putting money into their 401k. They're preparing to grow their wealth and all of that. And then when they hit retirement, they think to themselves, oh my goodness, my paycheck has just stopped. But no worries. I'll live off my Social Security. Maybe I'll pull some money from my investments. I know I get this required minimum distribution I have to take, all that kind of stuff. Well, all of a sudden, the rules have just changed. And one of the things that Americans I know want to spend less of is money on taxes. If you can cut back on the amount of taxes you have to pay, that's something you want to look at very seriously. One of the things we do at Friedman Financial is look at your whole situation. Understand where you stand financially. Understand all aspects of your financial life so that you can take money from the right places at the right time to give you the income you need, but manage your tax liability as best you possibly can. That is not something that you know how to do on a daily basis. And it is something that we do every single day at Friedman Financial. This Secure Act is impacting everybody. If now's the time for a second opinion, if now's the time to get a fresh new look at your overall retirement plan, at your overall financial situation, and build a strategy to understand what's truly going to happen upon your death, upon the transfer of wealth from one person to another, it's time to sit down and talk. It's more than just writing a will, folks. It's more than just setting up a trust, because a lot of those decisions may not impact what the real issues are in your financial life. I'll tell you, we had somebody come in last week. Actually, it was a listener to the radio show. Came into the office and they told me that the first thing they need to do is they feel bad. They're 72 and 73 years old. They don't have a will. And they're really worried that if something happens to them, that they need to have a will, because they're losing sleep over it. They said, we're going on a vacation in February. We're going for 3 weeks away on vacation. If we die in a plane crash, if we die overseas, we don't have a will, what's going to happen? And I had already looked at their financial situation. We had talked about this. They brought me statements. We'd gone through everything that they had. And I helped them understand that by having a will wasn't going to change anything. because everything that they owned already was in a retirement account. They were renters, so they didn't own property. They had retirement assets, and their retirement assets, it was $400,000 or $500,000 in retirement assets. And we looked, and they had named each other as beneficiary, and they had named their children as what's called a contingent beneficiary, meaning if both of them were to pass away or the second one, it goes to the kids. So I said, so why do you think you need a will? They said, so that when we die, we'll know the courts and everybody will know where the money goes. I said, well, you've already named that. You've already named that in your documents. Now, if you own accounts individually in just your name, if you have not named contingent beneficiaries, if you own a piece of property that's just in your name, or perhaps you even own a property jointly and you're worried about a common death, both of you dying at the same time, and you're worried, well, where's the money going to go to? Well, yeah, that's when you want to be sure you have those wills. And don't get me wrong, I think a will is very important to have. I think proper estate planning is important to have. But what they were freaking out over was the wrong thing. They were freaking out over, oh my God, we need to find an estate planning attorney. We need to get a will. I said, what you really need, and getting a will is fine, but what you really need more than anything else, and everybody I believe needs this, is a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney. There is far more likely that someone will need to pull the power of attorney and act on your behalf to sign documents to make decisions for you rather than having to step up and become the executor to your estate. Yeah, we're all going to die. We all know that. But the likelihood of you needing someone to help you, needing to step in your place, is far more likely. Now, granted, when you go to visit with an estate planning attorney, it's generally a package now. They put together a will. They'll give you a power of attorney. They'll give you a healthcare proxy. They'll even put a homestead on your home. Those are general practices. Do you need a trust? Maybe. I don't know. I think trusts are a little oversold, especially to the general population here. I think there are many people that need trusts, that it's appropriate for them. But there are many instances where a trust is just, frankly, not necessary. And then another thing that I see happen all the time is people who go to an estate planning attorney, have a trust drafted, yet they never put the assets that they own into the trust. So they say, I have a trust. I said, well, that's nice that you have it. What's in the trust? Well, everything's in the trust because I have this document. No, you have to change the ownership from your assets and put it into the trust. Folks, there's a lot more to managing your life in retirement, to managing your life financially, than just picking out the right asset allocation for your portfolio. At Friedman Financial, we are focused on the big picture of financial planning. Yeah, we manage a lot of money, close to $500 million now. Hard for me to believe that we're managing close to that amount of money. But we're also giving advice in all aspects of one's financial situation. And some of the advice that we need to give comes from this new SECURE Act that was put into place on January 1st. You're going to hear a lot about it. The press is going to talk to you in little sound bites. And you go, oh, that impacts me. That doesn't impact me. It's going to impact a lot of people. And if it was your intent to be so frugal with your money so that you could leave your children a nice nest egg and you wanted them to be able to use this for their lifetime, some of those provisions may not be possible anymore. Imagine if your kids had to take your... Imagine if you, for instance, just look at you. Look at your retirement account. Imagine someone came to you right now and said, you've got $500,000 in your retirement account. You have to take it all out and pay tax on it in 10 years. That's pretty daunting, isn't it? Considering all the other sources of income you have as a retiree. Now imagine your child inheriting your retirement account and them having that responsibility of having to inherit your money and pay taxes on this money within 10 years. And they're working, and chances are maybe they're trying to qualify for financial aid. Maybe they're trying to manage their own personal finances and they're about to have to take distributions from this IRA and you're realizing, oh my goodness, I'll never qualify for financial aid ever again because of this money I'm going to have to bring in. And so your grandparents or your parents might think, well, Well, that would be good. That money was designed to pay for Johnny's education. And you thought to yourself, well, wait a second. I wasn't counting on mom and dad's inheritance to pay for Johnny's education. I was hoping financial aid would reduce the cost of college for my children so that I didn't have to pay as much. And when I inherit mom and dad's money, I'll have a little bit more to help secure my retirement. Oh, things have changed, folks, and we haven't even touched on all the possibilities and ways that this isn't going to impact it. There are possibilities and reasons why you, as a retiree today, should begin taking more money out of your IRA now rather than just taking your required minimum distribution. Because perhaps you're in a lower income tax bracket than may your children be. That's possible. It may make sense to start taking money from your IRA before you turn 72, because if you were listening earlier, it's no longer 70 and a half, folks. Starting this year, 72 is the year when you have to take a minimum distribution, not 70 and a half. Perhaps these are the reasons this new plan, this new secure plan, is a reason why you should consider converting some of your IRA dollars to a Roth IRA. Maybe. Huh, what does that mean? What does that mean to convert my IRA to a Roth IRA? Well, let's say you have $100,000 in your IRA. Let's say you were, 63 years old. I was reading an advisor who had written a story, and he says there are peaks and valleys of earnings in our life. And there are valleys, usually our 20s, when we're kind of in our lowest earning years. We hit our 50s, where we're in our highest earning years. Then we approach retirement, where we aren't working, we're collecting Social Security, perhaps we're pulling money from our investment accounts. Those are kind of our lower earning years. And then we hit that 72 number, that 72 years old number, not 70 and a half anymore, where we have to start taking money from our IRA. But perhaps in our 60s, it could, and I'm not saying would, it could make sense to convert your IRA or maybe one of your IRAs to a Roth. And what does that mean? That means taking that IRA, paying tax on it right now, and then allowing it to grow tax-free forever. And when you want to take out money down the road, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, you take that money out, it's free. When your tax liability may be higher than what it is today. All of those are considerations that you need to run through your scenarios now. This is about being thoughtful in your planning. And yeah, the government's putting it on you, folks. The government wants their tax money. That's what they've said. We want to try to get our tax money because everybody wants lower taxes while they're working. They want lower taxes while they're working. But in doing so, it's creating a further deficit here in our country. Yet, there are ways in which we can reclaim tax money, and that's by collecting money that you've been deferring on your IRAs a little bit quicker after you die. Because it used to be when you died, you could pass the money on to another generation and stretch it out. The beneficiary would only have to take a very, very small amount. And they could stretch that out forever and pass it on to the next generation and stretch it out forever. Could they take out more? Of course they could. But you're only required to take a small amount. All those rules have changed, folks. If you were born, actually, it doesn't matter when you were born. January 1st, if someone dies and they've passed the money on to you, and you're not what's called a qualified beneficiary, a spouse, a child who is a minor, a beneficiary who is less than 10 years, or someone that is chronically ill and disabled. When you inherit that money, let's say you're the child of your parent, you inherit the money. Rule says you got to take the money out 10 years. So imagine $100,000 might not be so painful because you can spread that out $10,000 over 10 years. But there's a lot of people out there that have 401ks and retirement accounts that are $800,000, $1 million, $2 million. $2 million. Let's say it's you and your sister, and you're each inheriting $1 million from mom, and you have to take this money out in 10 years. Could you imagine adding $100,000 of taxable income to what you're already collecting now? That includes all the stuff that you're making. Maybe you're in your prime earning years. You've just added an extra $100,000. You've just moved yourself into a much higher tax bracket. Perhaps you could be paying upwards of 50% between federal, state, and Social Security tax. That is a big deal, folks. You got to be careful. You've got to be ready. It's time for you to sit down and get a second opinion about your financial plan. We are ready for you at Friedman Financial. Give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or visit us on the web, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to easeandad.financial.com. We are scheduling initial consultations for you because we know that this SECURE Act is going to impact almost everybody. You got to understand how it impacts you. Give us a call. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to the final segment of Friedman Financial. Not final segment, I should say, final segment of the day. We're still going on. We're kicking it. And this is year 8, I think, for us of Dollars and Cents here at North Shore 104.9. It's a delight to be here and to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals, families, anybody who's listening to the show. Hope you're doing well this Sunday morning. It is back to work on Monday. Holidays are finally behind us. Hope they were good to you. Hope you had a wonderful time. It was nice to have all the kids home. I hope you liked having the kids home. It's also nice to send them off and get them back to school and wherever they need to be. But lots ahead of us, and now I can just sit and wait for the buds to appear on the trees again, because winter is not my favorite holiday. I mean, favorite season. Yeah, it's not a holiday. Winter is not a holiday. It's a season. Yeah, I want to move on. But anyways, how are you today? It's been a little challenging for us in the financial services business because of this new rule that just came into play called the SECURE Act. It is changing. It will change pretty much the way everybody will handle the transfer of wealth from themselves to the next generation. The SECURE Act also opens up a lot of other possibilities, like small business owners being able to offer 401k plans, but that doesn't go into effect for a couple of years. But the idea of you passing away and leaving money to a beneficiary with the expectation that they can just take out little amounts of money over time has just come to a complete halt. Imagine this. Perhaps you've inherited money from your parents or grandparents, and you have something that is called a beneficiary IRA, and you know that you have to take out a minimum amount every single year from this IRA. And you've thought, well, it's not so painful. It's a few thousand dollars every year. I got to take it out, but I can stretch it, stretch it, stretch it, stretch it. I can take out more if I want, but I only have to take out the minimum. Well, fortunately, if you've received those IRAs as a beneficiary IRA up until December 31st, 2019, you can keep doing that. But if you become a beneficiary IRA recipient as of January 1st, 2020 and beyond, you got to cash out that account in 10 years. And pay all the taxes on it. That's pretty scary. Now, if you're a qualified beneficiary, if you're a spouse, if you're a minor child, if you're somebody who's disabled, or if you're the beneficiary of less than 10 years, there are some exemptions around there, some exclusions. But for the most part, if you're a child, if you're the nephew, if you've been left in an IRA or a retirement account by someone that isn't your spouse, chances are you're going to have to cash this thing out quickly, and it's going to have an impact on your tax liability. Are there strategies around trying to limit what that tax liability is? Sure. Is it appropriate to share those on the radio? No, because it's so different for everybody. I'm just trying to focus on the general stuff, folks. But if you, but you cannot put yourself in a situation where you're going to be surprised about this. You have to be prudent. You have to be thoughtful in your planning. You have to be appropriate in making sure that the way in which you're using your money to support your retirement now is being used the right way. I see so many people that are minimizing the way they spend money so that they can pass on an inheritance to their children and then allow that to be an ongoing legacy that will provide income to them for years and years and years, and perhaps even to their grandchildren for years and years and years. Well, that can happen with some of your assets, but it's not going to happen with your retirement accounts anymore. That is about to change. Actually, it has changed. The rule is in effect right now. And you need to be thoughtful and make sure that you understand what you're doing in passing on money. You know, in years past, and in several shows past, I've talked about the importance of giving with warm hands rather than cold ones. You've probably heard that expression before. I've used it here many times. I oftentimes think that parents are leaving this money and that when the kids inherit it, they do some crazy things with the money. It may be an opportunity now for you to have some thoughtful conversations with your children to say, maybe it makes sense to cash out some of this money that I have in my retirement plans. Now, yeah, maybe I'll have to pay a little tax on it, but perhaps my tax liability won't nearly be as high as my child's tax liability. Because when you pass on the IRA to them, not only are you creating a tax liability for them, you're adding a tax liability to what their tax liability already is. And by merging your money that they have to take with the money that they're already earning, you could be pushing them up into the 35, 40, 50% tax bracket. And someone's saying, wait a second, how could there possibly be a 50% tax bracket? I thought the highest was in the almost 40. Well, when you think about paying taxes federally, here in the state of Massachusetts, we still have a 5% income tax, so add that to it. You got to pay 7% of your income to Social Security up to the Social Security limits. There could be a Medicare surcharge, which is called the Obamacare surcharge. All of those things add up. You could be well over 50% if you start collecting all of this money. That's pretty scary when you realize how much money you're laying out in taxes right now. And oh, by the way, if you were doing that, do you still want to continue to contribute to your 401k plan so that there's less money that's coming home? There's a lot of reasons to do what you're doing, but also a reason to understand what it is that you're doing so that you can be smart about it. At Friedman Financial, we look at every component of your financial life so you can understand the smart strategies to use to support your income today and to support your lifestyle into the future. I know most people that come to see us, and 65% of our clients are in retirement. Another 30% of them, that's right, 30%, 30 and 65, it's almost 95. Another 30% are about 10 years away from retirement, 10 years or less. So if you're in that window, we know what to do. We've been doing this for 52 years. We've been through lots of tax packages, lots of changes that have gone on. Remember, years ago, there wasn't such a thing as a Roth IRA. You could only contribute to a smaller amount to your to an IRA years ago. There were different rules. The rules keep changing. It's just that simple. And if you're not staying on top of it, many people still believe that I can gift $10,000 a year to anybody, and that's the limit. Folks, it's not $10,000. It has been $10,000 for a long time. Those numbers have changed. You have to be prepared. You have to be ready to go. You have to know your stuff, or at least leverage somebody who's knowing that stuff for you. We are the experts. We understand what's necessary and what's likely to happen in your situation if you follow the path that you're on. See, one of the things that I love about our financial planning software that I've shown to many people who have come into the office, and they love looking at it every single time they come back for a review. We give you a snapshot of where you stand today. We also show you some modelings to say, if you continue doing what you're doing, here's the likelihood of what's going to happen. Will you run out of money? What's the tax liability going to be? Where are we going to take money from? And then we run what-if scenarios. Someone says, well, I was thinking of retiring at 56 years old, but I'm not going to be able to collect Social Security until 67. Do I have enough money to fill the gap in between? Or how much money do I need to make between 56 and 67 so that I don't completely deplete my assets that I already have while I wait for Social Security to kick in? Wouldn't it be nice if someone could model that for you to give you a sense of what that looks like? Look, a lot of people say, I've been with the company for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and I'm sick of it. I want to retire from this company, but it's not that I want to stop working. I just want to do something different, something that I enjoy doing. And I know I won't make as much money, but the pressure will be off. I won't be responsible for so many other people. I'll just do my job, get in, get out. I'll have it all done. And a lot of people who are in their late 50s and into their 60s are thinking about that. And even people who are in their 60s and going into their 70s, they say, I'm going to be done with my job, but I'm going to take on what's called an encore career. Something else that I can do that I'm just excited about. And some people will just say, I want to volunteer, or I want to spend my time doing good. Or maybe it's, I just want to work at Market Basket and bag groceries and just say hi to people and make my life really easy, but just be part of something bigger. Whatever it is, we can help you model that so you can see what's necessary. Because one of the things that I feel very confident in is that you're going to look at your statement that's going to come to you, your investment statement, that's going to land in your mailbox in the next week or two. And then that statement is going to show you what the value of your account was on January 1st and what the value of your account is on December 31st. And you're going to go, oh my God, look how much money we just made. Depending upon, of course, how your money's invested. But look, the average portfolio that's balanced 50% in the stock market, 50% in the bond market, easily did a double-digit return in the teens. Wow. I mean, and some people did more. Look, the S&P 500 finished the year almost up 30%. Now, you didn't put all your money in the S&P. You built a portfolio that had some stocks, some bonds. You built an appropriate asset allocation portfolio. No one's complaining about a return that's in the teens. But should you expect that as the performance numbers moving forward? Folks, we got to be realistic. In fact, Bob Dahl, who works for, he's Nuveen's chief equity strategist and senior portfolio manager, puts out a report every year that many people in the industry look to say, what's Bob's 10 predictions for the year? And I pulled out Bob's predictions in 2019. His 2020s will come out in the next week or two to see what his predictions were in 2019 and how right he was. Well, he wasn't bad. He wasn't really wrong, but he wasn't exactly right either. And that's one of the things about economists. Some people have a favorite economist and they go, well, if he said it, this is what it must be. Well, folks, economists like weathermen, you know, if they get it right more than 50% of the time, they keep having a job. If you're a baseball player, if you can hit a ball 30% of the time, you're an all-star. So we have to be careful about what we're leveraging our advice on. You need to get advice that is geared for you. Not what the public says, not what the media says, not what your social media feed says, not what your colleagues say. Someone that takes a look at your personal financial situation, understands how you spend money, how money comes into your house, how you're going to use it to support your children and your family, and all of the other outside factors like having to take care of mom or having to give waiting for inheritances that come your way. Whatever it is, you need to have someone take a look at that big picture. Put you in a place so that you can plan appropriately for the years ahead. The Secure Act, which just came into effect on January 1st, is a stark reminder that we need to do something now. You need to do something now to make sure you're on the path to success. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to ease in a D, financial.com. We're there to help you. Let us be there for you. I got to get out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.